You may be seated. Last week, we started looking at the next thing, and then we looked at the next thing. Started with Christ's ascension. He made a promise to all of his disciples before he descended that if he ascended, God would send a comforter. Not Jesus. God would send a comforter. That's an important difference. A lot of people look to him for their strength, their power. It's actually God that is doing these things. It's God that is taking care of you. In Acts chapter 2, I want us to look at an event, and we're going to spend 2 or 3 weeks here. Not next week, of course, because next week is Mother's Day, but couple weeks after that, we'll stay on the same subject. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 tells us, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." For the average Christian, communication stops with prayer. For the average Christian, communication with God stops with prayer. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Prayer is usually very one-sided with a Christian. They do the talking. All of it. Even through the amen. That's not the way it's supposed to be. You see, God was doing something for you and me on this day of Pentecost. Penta meaning five. It occurred 50 days after Christ rose from the dead. It occurred 10 days after Christ ascended to heaven. So last week we looked at Christ ascending to heaven, making it possible for the Holy Spirit to come, because he could not be here at the same time Christ was. So 50 days after he rose from the dead, the Holy Spirit empowered him to rise from the dead. And we want to look at the Holy Spirit for the next several days. I think I'm probably going to say some things that you've never thought about, or you're going to question, or perhaps you may even meditate upon. God is always attempting to communicate with each of you. Always. It never stops. Even when you're sleeping, he's trying to communicate with you. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. Because maybe you're not listening. Maybe you don't realize that that is God speaking to you. God trying to correct a problem. God trying to resolve a situation. But he does want to communicate. In fact, the title of the message is The Ability to Communicate. And prior to the coming of the Holy Spirit, that did not exist. Oh, God could speak to people. He spoke to Moses. He spoke to Noah. He spoke to Adam. He spoke to a lot of different people. He would speak to the prophets. He would give them the what they were to tell people. God spoke to people a lot. But the person that it's most important for him to speak to is you. And he wants to do that. He wants to communicate with you. Part of the problem is there is so much going on around you that you can't hear him because of all the noise from the world. The world's a noisy place, folks. Some Christians think that God will do all of his talking through the Bible. Well, he'll do some of it. And he may speak to your heart, he may speak to your soul, he may speak to a situation that you have through his word, and as it was intended. That's why he had it written. Even though it was written, some of it 3,500 years ago, some of it 2,000 years ago, some of it 1,900 years ago, it was written to you as a love letter, and as an assurance that he loves you. Now, there's one verse that I have mentioned a lot. I've mentioned it often. But I want us to think about it a little differently this morning. And that verse is Psalm 66:18. Psalm 66:18 deals with our prayer to God. But at the same time that it's talking about our prayer to God, it's also talking about God's communication to us. Psalm 66:19 is, if I regard iniquity or sin in my heart, God will not hear me. I've cut myself off from him. On the other hand, if I regard iniquity in my heart, I cannot hear God either. Because once again, I've cut myself off from him. And so sin is more than just a reproach on our lives. Sin actually disrupts our communication both ways. And we need to realize that. The wonderful demonstration of God's love that took place on that day we call Day of Pentecost is sometimes not appreciated by the average Christian for what it actually was. God opened a communication link between him and mankind that had not existed before. He opened a communication link between him and mankind that had not fully existed before. And the thing that actually took place at that time is a demonstration of God's desire to communicate with his children. If you know Jesus Christ this morning as your personal Savior, doesn't matter whether you were 7 years old when you accepted him and didn't really fully understand what it was all about, but you did believe on him. Or you were 17 and you understood a little bit more. Or you were 27 and you understood more. Or you were 87. When you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the instant. It's not even measured in nanoseconds, which is a very short period of time. The instant that you believed, the Holy Spirit indwelt your soul. He's there right now. You can't get rid of him. Once he comes in, he's in. And he's going to guide you in your life, and he is also going to guide your communication with God from that point on for the rest of your life. Until that thing we call a soul and a spirit, which is what gives us life, departs, this thing we call a body. And at that instant, again, instant, the soul goes back to be with the Lord. The spirit goes back to be with the Lord who gave it. And you are with the Lord. You don't remember what happened here. You don't have the relationships that were developed here. And sometimes we spend years developing those relationships. And the fruit from those relationships may still be here, but the relationship itself is different. And the person is with God. We want to talk about the Holy Spirit this morning, because he is supposed to be, and I'm going to use that word supposed to be, in every one of you, because every one of you that I'm looking at here claims to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if you know him, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. Now, God demonstrated his love on that day of Pentecost. The disciples didn't know what was happening. The people of Jerusalem did not know what was happening. They just knew there was some kind of a disturbance in the city. And they all ran to see it, which is what most of us do. I don't know if there's some kind of something special going on, we run to see what's happening. In Acts 2, verses 5 through 12, the next verses, it says, "And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven." Every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, when they heard that there was something going on, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this? What's going on?" There are two things that I want us to look at the end of this passage. First, they were all amazed. Nobody turned their back in boredom. Nobody. Everybody who ran to that place and heard in their own language the wonderful works of God were amazed. That doesn't mean they were bored. It doesn't mean that they were nonchalant about it. It means that they were actually interested in what they were being told, what they were hearing. Nothing like this had ever happened before. Well, yeah, something similar had happened about 1,500, almost 2,000 years ago. Before that, and this was, remember, 2,000 years ago, so back around 4,000 years ago, there was a little incident called the Tower of Babel, where Nimrod decided they would build a tower to heaven so they could tell God what to do. And God frustrated that by confusing their language. And they were so confused, they all went out to different parts of the world and inhabited it. So what meaneth this was a pretty legitimate question. This meant that lines of communication had been opened by the presences of God's Holy Spirit. And every one of us has that ability now through God's Holy Spirit, who lives not in our heart that's pumping blood, but in our very soul, wherever that may be located. It's in there somewhere. And through him, not only can we talk to God, but he wants to talk to us. I told some of the men, Sunday school class, he spoke to me this morning. For 2 months, I've been planning on going to a conference. And this morning, when I got ready to get the suitcase down and go make a reservation for a hotel, he said, don't go. And people, he might do that to you. He just might. He might say, don't buy it. I used to tease my wife a little bit when she went clothes shopping or shopping for shoes. I knew before I ever took her shopping, that after she shopped, we were going back there to take the shoes back. I know none of you ladies would ever do something like that, but or a dress or a skirt or something. And I would ask her, did the Holy Spirit tell you you could buy that? She used to ask me the same thing. Did the Holy Spirit tell you it was okay for you to get that? And in my heart, when she would ask that question, the Holy Spirit would speak to me. And usually it was no. But you know what? This old stubborn, stiff-necked person would buy it anyway. God gave us, out of love, his Holy Spirit. The very same Holy Spirit that inspired prophets to tell whole segments of a population they were doing wrong, or they were going to go into captivity, or this is what God wanted. God used the prophets. That very same Holy Spirit that told them is in you. Because on that day of Pentecost, God opened some doors. And those doors are still open, folks. He's not going to close them. And those open doors are communication between you and God. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a fantastic thing when you can go to him and that same Holy Spirit that lives in you tells you, it's okay. It's okay. God's going to take care of it. God's going to work it out. Just be still and know that He is God. And so that's what we try and do. You know, from this point on in history, from the day of Pentecost, every time somebody got saved, the Holy Spirit indwelled them. First Corinthians 3:16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" That was Paul talking to the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians 3:16. "Know ye not." Do you understand? Do you know? The Holy Spirit has indwelled you. He is there right now, right this moment. And He is there to communicate with you. He's there to tell you, to guide you to a closer relationship with God. God wants to be your friend. Now, He's also God. He's also the one who made us, who created the universe, who created the thing we call power. He created the laws that we find written in this book and the commandments we find written in this book. You know, I don't find a single suggestion in this book. God made it all commandments and gave it in the form of orders for each of us. Now, we don't have to rely on our knowledge. You know, as we go from one state to another, there are different laws. In some of the states, there are some very old laws on the books that they don't enforce except for when they see a South Carolina tag on your car. But there are different laws in different states. God's law is the same everywhere. God gave us the Holy Spirit so that we could have wisdom and knowledge and understanding. We can go to God and we can ask Him to guide us. We can. We can actually go there and ask God to guide us. And folks, I'm no different than any of you are. I'm a man born of a woman. I'm flesh and blood and a spirit. You are the same exact kind of person. God is no respecter of persons. The Word tells us this in several places. So what He does for me, He'll do for you. What He does for you, He'll do for me. We're all subject to the same relationship. And when He says, don't do this, then folks, we better not do it. And you can, it's okay. You can say, well, then what am I supposed to do? That was my question this morning. And He showed me several things that I needed to do. That wasn't my plan. I was planning on ignoring those things for at least this week. Folks, you have the same relationship. You have the same relationship. It doesn't have to be any different. God wants to communicate with you. He's going to tell you what he wants you to do. And it may not be according to your will, but that's okay. He knows best. He always knows best. Now, I don't have the whole Bible memorized. In fact, I don't have much of it memorized at all. I know part of it because I have gone over it and over it and over it. And my wife used to shame me because she had a Bible memorization program. She had memorized hundreds and hundreds of verses. She was trying to get you ladies, I think, to memorize some verses. It won't hurt, really, okay? There'll be no scars, okay? But you know why we don't have to worry about it? Because God put in you the same Holy Spirit, the same exact Holy Spirit that wrote this book. Yeah. God's Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. Not with his hand, but with the hand of all the different men the 66 books were written by. He inspired them exactly what words to write. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. That's you, folks. That's me. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We can tell the difference between our sin nature and the Holy Spirit because you and I can know the Word of God. That's why we were in Sunday school this past hour. That's why we're here this morning, so that we can know a little bit more about what God says. The Holy Spirit now has a different relationship with man. The Holy Spirit, the same one that came upon man on the day of Pentecost, now has a work to do for God. First, he convicts a sinner of sin. He convicts a sinner that he is a sinner. So if he happens to convict you, he's just doing his work. He then shows the sinner that he needs what needs to be done to fix it. And if he shows you something that you need to change or something that you need to do, do it. And the fix usually starts with another thing that God sends, and that is repentance. Repentance. Sorrow, contrition for the sin that we've committed. And when that gets strong enough, we act upon it. And sometimes we do things that we think are impossible to be done. When I was first saved, and it's something I have dealt with for years with other people because of what God did with me. But when I got saved back in 1961, I smoked. And folks, I enjoyed smoking. And if you have ever smoked, you know how that was. You enjoyed it. Well, I couldn't quit. Not just like that. For two reasons. First of all, I didn't want to. And folks, you're never going to quit whatever it is you're doing if you don't want to. If you don't want to in your heart. And secondly, I didn't have any conviction about it. But as time progressed, as I started to grow in Christ, suddenly there was that little still small voice saying, don't do that, don't do that. And I managed to ignore that for a while. You may have too. Maybe you're ignoring it now about some part of your life. But finally, it got to a point where I really was sorry. And I knew that not only was it not good for me, it was a reproach upon Jesus Christ, my Savior. And you know what? I didn't have to go to any of these gums or whatever it is you chew. The Holy Spirit gave me the strength. He gave me the strength, not me. He gave me the strength to just quit and never touch it again. It's the same thing with alcohol. Anything that any of us have in our life that doesn't belong there, he can deal with. And he wants to deal. That's why he's been given to us. He has been given to us by God. He's nothing you acquired or bought or earned. He has been given to you by God to help you, to make you a better testimony for Jesus Christ, to give you the strength that you don't have to do things that he wants you to do. Even to sometimes do what we would call a miracle. Yeah, that's part of your life. That's what he has made you for. I have a picture in my mind. I trust I'll never lose it. Not the mind, the picture. Okay, the mind may go away anytime. I have a picture in my mind of a 125-pound woman running out to the street and picking up the front end of a car to get it off from her son that was laying under the engine. £125. Her son Jimmy was laying under the front end of that car to hit him in the street. Folks, that was the Holy Spirit. That wasn't her. And there's going to be times when you're going to have to depend upon him to get you to where you need to be, to help you do some of the things that for you it's impossible. What is impossible for God? Nothing. What is too hard for God? Nothing. Is the Holy Spirit really part of God? Is he part of the Trinity? Is he God? Then you have God living in you. We don't have any excuses, folks. The Holy Spirit is such a wonderful person. He ministers between us and God, and he knows what God wants because he is God. And it's true that God is in heaven with Jesus at his throne making intercession for all of us. But the Spirit is in us. and he's ready to communicate with us when we need help, when we need direction, when we need wisdom, when we need knowledge, and when we need understanding. I tend to believe that there are some believers who are a little bit fearful of the Spirit because they know that there are things in their lives that are not right. And they are perfectly happy with things the way they are. Maybe God isn't. And so there are those people who are afraid to let the Holy Spirit communicate with them because they would have to change something. So they ignore the conviction and they remain involved in whatever activity it is or whatever attitude or motives. They do have a reason to be fearful of the Holy Spirit. I plan for us to look at this for several weeks. I'm just halfway through with this message, and we're out of time. The Holy Spirit, folks, is real. He's a part of you. He is God. He has a purpose for you. He has something for you to do. Let me say this thing, and then I'll wrap this up for today, and we'll get back to it. Not next week, but the week after. Listen to what I'm about to say, because I'm going to tell you the truth about why God sent His Holy Spirit to you. And if you don't know this and you don't understand this, you're going to experience difficulties and troubles unnecessarily. First, God sent His Holy Spirit to be a comforter in difficulty. And folks, I know He is, personally. It's not unusual for the Spirit to give us individual instructions about where to go and what to do when we get there. That is not unusual. There are a couple of examples that we can share from Scripture. One is in Acts 8:29. We all are familiar with it. Philip was holding a revival. He was an evangelist. And the Spirit came and told him he needed to be someplace else. And He took him someplace else. And as Philip stood there, he saw a chariot coming with a Ethiopian eunuch in it. And he was reading the Scripture. And the Holy Spirit told Philip, go join yourself to him. And he did it. He listened. He obeyed. And he was able to lead that man to the Lord, who took the gospel back to Ethiopia. There's one other time that you don't realize that the Holy Spirit was involved. And I want to share that with you too. It's in Mark 5:6-8. Jesus was with His disciples. They were on the sea. They were coming to the shore. A man looked out and saw them. They saw the man. Do you realize how much of this the Holy Spirit was a part of? Let me read this. Mark 5:6-8. But when he saw Jesus afar off, the man, he ran and worshiped him. Who was this? And he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." It was the man living in the cemetery who had 1,000 evil spirits in him. Folks, the Holy Spirit is able to do anything you need to have done. We'll stop here. He's in you. He's a part of you. He wants to use you to bring glory to God. And he will do exactly that if you will just hear him, believe him, and follow him. Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us so much to give us of your Holy Spirit. Father, help us to have ears to hear. Help us to have faith to believe. And then may he give us the energy and the strength we need to do whatever it is he tells us to do. Thank you, Father, that he's real. Thank you that he lives in us. Father, help us. Help us to glorify you with the life you give us and the time you give us here. May your will be done in each life. And Father, may we praise you for what you do. Because we thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.